Ego sum Marco Werman, et hoc est mundo. No, we're not just switching to Latin for the fun of it. I'm getting in the mood for this next story, which is all about Roman London, or Londinium, and the discovery of hundreds of documents that have survived nearly 2,000 years, back to the city's very beginnings. The world's one-man history desk, Chris Wolfe, has been rummaging through. Chris, tell us what you found.
I love this stuff, man. This is my hometown, and this is so cool. This is, you know, for the first time, we have some of the words and thoughts of the very first Londoners. For example, there's an IOU from a freed slave, a guy called Tibullus, dated precisely to January the 8th, 57 AD,
wow.
in the Roman calendar. Now, Tibullus was some kind of businessman, and he's recording the fact that he owes 105 denarii, which is like the basic coin, like dollars, to another freedman called Gratus from the profits of merchandise that they've sold and delivered. And this little IOU is already officially the oldest handwritten document ever found in Britain.
Well, handwritten documents, what were they actually written on?
So this is where it gets really cool, because the Romans had paper, but paper's very expensive. Mm. So just for taking notes, you know, for bills and IOUs and legal briefs and letters, you know, to loved ones or whoever, the Romans used these thin wooden tablets covered with beeswax, and you simply etch your words in the wax with a stylus. They're reusable, since you just melt the wax and start over, giving you a clean slate, literally a tabula rasa,
right.
is what they would call it. And the leading archaeologist on the project says, this is like the email of the Roman world.
That's incredible. So the beeswax survived 2,000 years?
No, the wood survived, astonishingly. And that's one of the amazing things. Basically, it looks like, from the location, the theory is that this was in the trash, and the trash was used to shore up the banks of this little creek that runs through London. And they sank in the mud, and the thickness and density of the mud did one of those miraculous things where it prevented oxygen from the air getting to them, which would have made them rot. So what's happened is either the writer would have etched through the wax and into the wood itself,
gotcha.
Or somehow there's leaves some kind of chemical mark on the wood below, which they can then use all kinds of high-tech stuff to actually recover words from what might look like blank pieces of wood.
What did we learn actually about London 2,000 years ago?
Well, one news agency, I have to give credit for this quote, they said, AFP, they came, they saw, they got down to business.
That is pretty good.
It's because London was founded as a fort, vital to protect a bridge over the biggest river in the south of England. And there were hundreds of these little forts and bridges and things all over England. But what we're learning from these documents is that London very quickly became very different. And this looks like the whole city kind of bloomed in the aftermath of the invasion thanks to free enterprise. What happens is that the site is navigable to the biggest ships of the era, so it becomes like very quickly a big trading port.
Right.
And so very quickly this population grows of a cosmopolitan bunch of enterprising businessmen from all over the Roman Empire, traders, sailors, dock workers, craftsmen. And so London's quickly transformed from rolling countryside to the biggest city north of the Alps. Although that's all relative, that's about 60,000 people was the peak population. It's about the size of Schenectady, New York today, or Encinitas in California.
That.
Or it's about how many people can sit down at Gillette Stadium to watch a Pats game.
Do you consider these Romans the founding fathers of London?
Absolutely. I mean, like, you know, it became the commercial, industrial, legal hub of southern England very quickly. And, you know, the fort was there obviously first, but these people created kind of the life and soul of London that survives.
Where does the word Londinium come from?
Well, this is one of the things that they're discovering, is that it actually was called London or Londinium, because one of the tablets they found is actually addressed to Mogontius in London. And that's dated from about 65 to 80 AD, a full half a century earlier than the next oldest reference that have survived in the historical record. And Mogontius, incidentally, is the Romanized version of a Celtic name. So it just gives you an insight into some of the globalization that's taking place in the early Roman Empire.
Any other highlights from this discovery, Chris?
Well, one other thing is a very simple one. It's just what could be the first example of learning in what's now the UK. It's somebody simply practicing their alphabet. Obviously, they're learning to write, which is fascinating. And that's what I really like about all this discovery, is that you're seeing the lives of the very ordinary people, the small traders, the judges, soldiers, well, you know, relatively ordinary people. The Romans are very good at carefully recording their history, their laws, their literature, but they didn't really care about much else. So it's this kind of breakthrough that's helping us put together the pieces. And one of the lead translator actually on the project said, it's been a privilege to eavesdrop on the on the people of Roman London.
The World's History Guy, Chris Wolfe, thank you.
You're welcome.